Good morning. Today is the first of the 16th.
Happy New Year, Ryan.
Joining us this morning, yes, the guy who's number one in his own mind, Tom Schallard.
I don't think so, but
No, I kind of feel like number 365.
Yeah. Well, you've got the first day of 366 for this year.
That's right. You got that funny one going on.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be all kinds of weird promotions around that.
One can hope. Yeah. We haven't thought of one yet for the blood bank, but we'll try and come up with something.
29th pint.
Yeah.
Hey, how? Let's get into the quote here real quick. This comes from Charles Lamb. Quote, no one ever regarded the 1st of January with indifference. It's the nativity of our common Adam.
Profound. You got a good one for the first day of the
year.
Yeah,
well, you know, it only took, what, 3 hours, 4 hours? Got here really early. How much blood does a standard or normal-sized person have?
About 12 pints.
So giving a pint is...
1/12
okay.
of your
If you
supply,
did two of them, yes. you might start
if you
looking
did two,
a little thin.
It might be an issue if we took that much volume from you at one time. That would be that could be a problem.
Do bigger, either vertically or horizontally, people have more blood?
Yes. Yeah, if you're taller and wider, you do have more blood than a small person. You know, if someone who weighs 200 pounds, you know, has a lot more than someone who weighs 110.
So. Oh, I was thinking the 200 was a small person.
we have a minimum size. You have to weigh at least 110 pounds to donate blood. So
it'd just be too much of your body mass.
Too much volume when you take out the 450 mLs that we take, which is essentially about a pint of blood.
So what if you're a 300, 350, 400?
Conceivably, you could take out more, but the federal regulations don't let you. We have a maximum amount of blood that we can take from any donor.
I think some of these football kids, presuming that the blood passes the steroid test.
Yeah, well, that's.
Do you guys have to test for steroids?
No, not for steroids. No, steroids are not a deferral for, and we don't really run into that very often.
Somebody gets some blood, all of a sudden, boom, boom. They're pumped
up. doesn't quite work like that, but there are some a number of drugs, including some steroidal drugs that that we don't want you to be taking, and there's a list of them, but I don't try to keep all those in my head because there's too many of them. We
don't have them on the flashcard with you, huh?
Yeah, we ask you to read the deferral criteria that says if you're taking one of these, let us know.
Is there anything that's an automatic knockout now?
Any drug?
Yeah, I mean, I remember a couple of years ago that it was if you blank, 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 thanks but no thanks.
Well, there are a number of things. Travel to certain areas will get you deferred if you've, if you've had recent surgeries. There's a number of things along those lines. And if anybody has any questions, the easiest thing is to just call us and talk to one of the nurses.
Travel, I get. Recent surgery, just because you may not have healed, or because it may not be your own blood.
Well, it's oftentimes it's you may have received a transfusion, so that's part of a deferral. If you have had a major surgery of some kind, we want you to have recovered, and the deferral period is not too long. Usually, it can be as little as 6 months, but. Sometimes.
That's your thing of this afternoon.
Yeah. No, it depends. It really depends upon what the surgery is for. Some, minor things, as soon as the scar is healed, it's fine. So,
will it ever really heal?
Yes. Yes.
KIS. It'll get more normal. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tom Schallard. Administrator of the Northern California Community Blood Bank.
That's it. You got it right on. Good job.
Well, we didn't introduce you last time.
Thanks.
So now that we're done talking blood, we can talk about some other things that your title has absolutely no relevance with.
That's appropriate.
Last couple times we've gotten together, Tom, you shared about some of the international opportunities through Rotary, but that everybody has got to help in areas of passion. You know, for you, it's a calling as well as a career for the blood, and so you have that opportunity. What is the most challenging thing about trying to help out an international project, whether it's through Rotary or whether it's through anything else?
I think one of the most challenging things is just being able to communicate, you know, before you get there, because in many of the developing countries where you're trying to do this work, they don't have very good communication. You know, the phones don't often work or often don't work. Emails are slow, you know, response times are slow, and so forth. And so you end up spending a lot of time, you know, trying to get the thing organized before you get there, because you can't just, you know, fly over to Nigeria and say, here I am. You know, it just doesn't work that way. But it has worked really well for us over time, because now we have established some ground rules and conference calls. We're still regularly meeting with the folks that we met from Nigeria when we went over, did the assessment and did the training, brought them here, they did training. And now we have been able to successfully get them a blood mobile that was donated by the Central California Blood Center. And they're doing really well, you know, at the Uyo University Teaching Hospital where we were working. And now we have an opportunity to do the same thing with another blood mobile for the National Blood Transfusion Service in Nigeria. And a blood center in Florida is donating a blood mobile. And now we're working on trying to get the funds associated with it and get this thing on a boat and ship it over there. But it's the follow-up and making sure that the thing is successful, and that's a challenge. So what we have done with our colleagues in Nigeria is we have regular conference calls. We know that on certain dates we're going to be meeting at a certain time. It's usually 9 o'clock our time, 6 p.m. their time, and you know, we just schedule these things and get everybody on the phone and say, okay, what do you need and how are things going, and we have Rotarians that we're in touch with in Nigeria to make sure that, you know, the thing is going well, and
like the bus is being maintained and things
being
like
maintained
that.
Yeah. And it's getting out and going to proper places in the community and so forth. And it's as I said, I think to a number of individuals have asked me about the success of it. You know, when we first started work with them, about 1% of their blood was volunteer, and now it's over 20%.
The others were just taken?
No, the others were paid.
We've heard about those civil wars, but...
No, that's not how they do it. It was all paid donors and so forth. And so we're now, you know, really improving in their goal at the Uyo University Teaching Hospital is to be 100% by 2020. And that's a real noble goal, and that will really improve the safety and the quality of the blood they're providing to patients.
How do you recognize the political climate? It's got to be at a higher level. I mean, you're dealing with at the ground level, but any challenge, particularly to a dictatorship or an oligopoly, any change oftentimes is seen as a challenge, and you're trying to do something, or people might understand, and they get really, really nervous really quickly. Have you run into that with Nigeria, or is that one of the countries that's not a concern?
I think we have to make a big effort to have officials in the government well aware of what we're doing and get their okay to do it. You know, in any country, you really need to do that. Because, you know, they're going to, you know, what are you doing here? And so you have to have a visa to get into the place and in the country in the first place. So you need to be working with the government officials. And so we do that. And another challenge, though, in Nigeria is the tribal culture. There are a lot of different tribes, hundreds of cultures around all over the country representing, you know, a million here and 2 million there. And it's pretty interesting, because we had to meet with these tribal leaders sometimes. And the first tribal leader that I met, he was quite an interesting individual and had a Harvard MBA. And so when you think tribal leaders, I think some people in the United States think this is a backwoods guy who doesn't know what. And
we're thinking, you know, African queen.
You're thinking something. You're certainly thinking not Harvard MBA.
And right, the stereotypes.
And you talk to these guys, and you know, and they know the ins and outs, and they know how to pull their people together, and they know how to run a business. And that's basically what, you know, sometimes the tribes are businesses, and so they compete with each other to a certain extent. And so you really have to be aware of those things. You can't change the tribal culture. You can't go in there and say, you need to do it our way. You have to get their okay to do it, and they have to work within their system to make it happen. I can't go in and say, here's how it should be done. It just doesn't work that way.
Even if you wear the blue T-shirt with the S in the middle of it, it just not there.
Superman has never worked, never worked for me.
When there is a change at the governmental level, yes. Is that a hold your breath and hope things settle moment for some of these efforts that you've been involved with?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to, you have to restart the. The conversations, and hopefully you'll have had enough contacts with people that they're aware of what you're doing. For instance, that in two states, we worked right with the governors of the state, in the Akwaebom state and Ono state. We were working right with the governor's wife came to the dedication of the blood bank refrigerator that the Rotary Club of Eureka donated to the Jericho Hospital in Ibaden. And the governor's wife came to the event, and there were hundreds of people there, and then hundreds of blood donations made that day to fill up the new for a new blood bank refrigerator. It was really, really impressive.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the administrator of the Northern California Community Blood Bank, Tom Schallert. Tom, all the efforts that were going on internationally that you were talking about, do those stem from what your experiences have been here and kind of replicating it on a different scale, so to speak? Or are you seeing... A lot of times when you do something or you're involved with something somewhere else, you come back home, you look at things a little different, and you do things a little different. How has the local community benefited from some of the international outreach that you've done?
I think it's been really good for our staff to know that, that the knowledge that they have it can be shared and other people can learn from it. It's a real motivator. And so it really is good for our staff to see this. And I think the... we have the ability to do it. People have asked oftentimes, why are you doing this? It's so far away. And so, we have the capability of doing it, so we should. These are people who need blood and need expertise and are anxious to get that expertise. And we have done such a good job with it. The American International Health Alliance asked us to write a training program for both donor recruitment and donor care when you're drawing donors, the collection area. And so we actually sent one of our staff to train people in Ukraine. And also we sent one of our staff to Kyrgyzstan to do training.
Huh?
Yeah, Kyrgyzstan, one of the countries in the far eastern end of Russia. And so
see the Pacific?
Not from where they're at.
Not from where, okay.
And so it was a real thrill to both of these employees. They'd never been out of the country before. And so here they are in Ukraine. Joanna was in Ukraine training donor recruiters and just, had a great time with it. And they actually paid the blood bank to write the programs. And then they also...
So administration was excited about that too.
I'm always happy to find additional sources of revenue. We may be a not-for-profit organization, but if you don't have a bottom line...
Yeah. Not
it's a problem.
So, not so much, yeah. Not so profitable. Yeah.
Yes.
When those events occur, or when you go out and you do yours, you mentioned the tribal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And all the areas have got the equivalent of their tribes. Will they talk to the neighbors? Does it spread?
Yes.
Or does it stay where it is? And if you were going to be talking to the country next door, you'd have to send another crew in and replicate everything because of the provincialism?
No, they do. They do replicate it, and are willing to learn from each other. At the first place in Uyo University Teaching Hospital, one of the criteria was that they would train others, and they have trained other hospital-based blood centers. And now these hospital-based blood centers have seen the blood mobiles, and say, we want one of those too. And you know, I'm not going to be able to provide all of Nigeria with blood mobiles, but you know, we can. As they're in good shape and being retired by different organizations, you know, we can work to raise funds to get them over there.
So it's kind of like the fire departments. Somebody gets a new rig, they don't get rid of the old one; they pass it.
They pass it, yes. Along. And that's what we're trying to do with this project. And there's a couple of places that are working with us on
the transportation part.
Yeah,
because I would think your connections being the head hoo-ha for the national blood bank centers, that would be, I mean, everybody's got to be retired. You got to have 20 of these things a year, just normal.
Yes, there are blood mobiles being retired on a regular basis, and oftentimes they are sold and then, you know, not scrapped, but repurposed in another, you know, in another fashion. But a number of them have gone into Mexico. That's a pretty easy place to get them because you can drive them there, and that's usually how it works. In our case,
Contiki doesn't work. No,
no, we're trying to get them onto a boat, and you know, I know more about this thanks to our good friend John Garrick
Jr. Yeah,
about roll on and roll off.
So it's not just a deodorant.
Yeah, you don't want to have to lift the blood mobile onto the boat. You want to be able to drive it on and drive it off. And so that's the, you know, so that you got to get the
so
right
some of the real
company.
Fundamental elements.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds kind of comical, but in hindsight, you got to learn.
You got to learn, and I knew nothing about it. And now I wouldn't consider myself an expert, but I certainly know some steps to avoid for this blood mobile number two that we're working on.
So when it lands, you just get it close to a port somewhere that it's not going to get taken away by somebody else and used for something else and drive it?
No, we're really they're pretty good about controlling that. We know where the port is. It's got a bill of lading. You know, if there's anything on it, you know, we know exactly where it's going, and the people know when it's going to arrive. All of these ships have pretty firm schedules. You know, it's going to leave on the 24th of February or something, and it's going to get there on, you know, March the 6th. I mean, they know these schedules in advance and where this boat's going to go and where all the cargo is, and then when it arrives there, the organization that's picking it up, in the last case, Uyo University Teaching Hospital, and the next time, the National Blood Transfusion Service, they know it's coming, they know when it'll be there, and they are there at the boat to get it.
Yeah.
They usually have
nobody else gets behind the wheel,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, they usually have to, you know, pay some kind of fees and custom fees and so forth. But we're trying to streamline that as much as we possibly can.
You know, you almost sounded like you got close to the B word on that one.
No.
No, you don't have to do that?
No, we don't have to do that.
That's
cool. It's but shipping into the United States, there's custom fees with, you know, with a lot of things.
The normal stuff.
It's normal.
Yeah.
It's normal.
Oh, you want all four wheels inflated?
Inflated.
Oh, well, that's a different schedule.
No, we haven't run into that. I mean, there's, you know, it's certainly, though, is a different culture there.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Tom Schallert.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tom Schallert. Tom, it always seems this time of the year we got new laws. We got pounds of laws for this, laws for that, da da da. Do you have anything that is impacting blood banking specifically today that wasn't into effect yesterday?
We don't have too many new rules, but there's a couple of them coming down the pipe that are going to affect us by May, and the Food and Drug Administration has put out a release and said, here's the new rules, you've got to this date to implement them. And the rules are related to a couple of things. One is, you know, making sure that donors have enough iron, and so we have to have a plan to make sure that if we're going to change the guidelines and lower the guidelines for folks for donating, then we have to have some kind of iron loss mitigation program. Because when you donate blood, you're losing some iron every time. So, you know, what we're basically going to do is just encourage donors to take, you know, one a day, an iron with one a day, a one a day vitamin with iron, or, you know, 19 milligrams of iron.
Well, you gave up that one pretty easy, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's not just a litmus. Yeah, you know, when you
We're checking for hematocrit there. You're not checking necessarily for iron. We're checking for the amount of red cells in your, you know, in your body. We're checking for that.
Oh, okay.
Not that it doesn't really check the iron. It's often called the iron check, but it's really not an iron check. And so, we have two criteria there, and the new criteria is going to say that we want to make sure that you're replacing your iron, because over the long term, you know, you need to have a certain amount of iron, and so
why don't you just give everybody that a lovely little bowl of cream spinach when they come in?
We have found that, you know, just eating spinach and broccoli and, you know, steaks and things like that, all that stuff does not replace all the iron that you lose in a donation. So
it gets close.
We're getting
a barbecue once a month. Everybody who donates.
The new recommendations coming out say take iron, and so we're going to be recommending that. We're actually looking for a national contract to maybe get a discount on it and you know, perhaps provide it, but we haven't gotten to that point yet. And then the other rule is the change in the male sex with male, and it's a 1-year deferral now instead of 5.
Say that again.
Male sex with male used to be a permanent deferral, you know, for the rest of your life, and now it's a 1-year deferral, and that will happen as we get all of our procedures changed and we get agreement from different companies that we send our plasma to that fractionate it and then make it into antihemophilic factor and other blood derivatives. They haven't changed their rules yet, so we can't change our rules until they do. But this is all a process. It's got to be systemic. It's got to be everybody does it, and it's all changed, and everybody agrees. And so the Food and Drug Administration has started the process by changing the guideline, and now the other companies have got to change their rules, and we'll be watching that and moving along with that as fast as we can.
I would think that there would be a kick to your liability insurance.
I don't think
until it normalizes.
No, I don't think so, because we don't believe there's going to be any increased. We don't believe there's any increased risk. The blood bank and
but do
other
the
blood
insurance
centers,
companies believe that?
Yes, yeah, they do, because they know the testing. The testing that we do is very effective. It works very well, and so, you know, we're going to catch anybody who is in that, you know, potentially in that window period.
Is there any use for blood that is not suitable for donating? You do the test, it doesn't work. Can it be used for anything else?
We do have some use for most of the blood products. There, it can be used for making samples of other things. It can be used for testing purposes and things like that. So very little of the blood that's collected here, even if we have to not use it directly for patient transfusion, it's still used in some fashion. You know, we try not to waste anything.
Thanks for coming by. Hopefully you won't get a finger prick on the rose when you watch the ball game later today.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, to you too, sir. Join us Monday morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Excellent. You'll see you tomorrow.